And you may be seated. I'm going to begin this morning by reading Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Actually, I think I'll back up and go from verse 11 down to the end of the chapter. As I mentioned a moment ago, this is going to be a little bit different kind of a service for us this morning. We're really dedicating this service to baptism. And I've got to be real honest with you. We've got some sermon notes here, but I am not really too sure how many of these notes I'm going to be able to preach today, because we just got a lot of things planned. But we'll do what we can and see where the Lord leads us in all of this. Matthew chapter 28, beginning at verse 11, says, "Now while they were," and keep in mind, this is a post-resurrection passage of Scripture. Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. And he's appearing to his disciples, and he says, "Now while they were on their way, behold, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priests all that had happened. And when they had assembled with the elders and counseled together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers and said, 'You are to say, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. And if this should come to the governor's ears, we will win him over and keep you out of trouble.' And they took the money and did as they had been instructed. And this story was widely spread among the Jews and is to this day. But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some were doubtful. And Jesus, the resurrected Christ, came up and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore,'" or "having gone," or "as you go, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age." And so this is probably one of the primary passages that we can turn to in the Scriptures in which we are given instruction with respect to baptism. As I said, I don't know exactly how far we're going to get into a message. The message is going to come a little bit later. But in your outline, you'll notice that the very first question that is asked with respect to baptism is, what is baptism? And so before we move ahead with the testimonies and the baptism, I wanted to at least address this first question very briefly. I've written down what I believe baptism is. You can follow along. Baptism is an ordinance of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's an ordinance of the Lord. In other words, it's something that has been commanded by Jesus Christ. And we see that very clearly right here in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. "By which those who have repented and come to saving faith in Christ are expressing their union with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection by being immersed in water in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We believe that baptism signifies death to the old life of unbelief and resurrection to the new life of faith." So let me summarize here. Baptism is an ordinance of the Lord Jesus Christ. He commanded it. And that's why they are following the Lord in obedience to be baptized. Baptism is for those who have repented and come to saving faith in Jesus Christ. And all of them have acknowledged their faith in Christ. All of them have given testimony to that faith in Christ. And so at GBF, we believe in believer baptism. Baptism is only for those who have faith in Christ because of what it symbolizes. And we'll get into that a little bit later on. So baptism is for the true believer only. Baptism is an expression. It's a demonstration of their union in Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. Baptism is more than a picture of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. It's a demonstration of the union that we have with Christ, so that we are dead and buried with Christ and risen with Christ. And we'll get into that in a little bit. Baptism is by immersion in water. And we'll look at that a little bit later on. It's a dramatic demonstration of what this union in Christ entails. And in everywhere you go in the Scripture, anytime it mentions baptism, it's baptism by immersion. going down into the water. Baptism is in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. For two reasons. One, Jesus said, when you baptize, do it in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Number two, when you do it in the name of the triune God, it's by the authority of the triune God. And number three, it's in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, because all of them are significant in the salvation that we have received as believers. Every one of them, each person of the Trinity, plays a very vital part in that salvation. And then baptism signifies death to the old life of unbelief and resurrection to a new life of faith. So through this ordinance, as they come forward, and this morning it's going to be Desiree Fleming and Marshall Hamill, David Lopez, Dayanata Lopez, Lily Lopez, and Ignacio or Nacho Lopez will be following the Lord. And so when they come to be baptized, they are publicly declaring their identity with the Lord's death, burial, and resurrection on their behalf with the intention. And here's what's important to understand. This is a message that's being proclaimed by them as they're baptized, with the intention of walking with him in newness of life and as members of his body. So this is a huge step for any believer. Baptism demonstrates or proclaims a willingness, listen, to pay the price to be identified with Jesus Christ publicly. And every Christian is called to this. Every Christian is called to it. And baptism by immersion is a wonderful and dramatic picture of that new life we have in Christ. Not the means of securing it. It's a picture of what we already have. So with that kind of an introduction to this whole idea of baptism, I'd like to go ahead and start with the testimonies. And what I'm going to do is, yeah, she's so excited, she can hardly stand it. She's rubbing her hands together. But as we do this, I'm going to have each one come up and share their testimony. They'll sit back down after their testimony. Once they are done, then one by one, I'll be having them come to the for the baptism itself. So the first one that we're going to hear from is Desiree Fleming. So Desiree, come on up here. There you go. On.
Hello, my name is Desiree, and I'm 10. I grew up in a Christian home. I followed Jesus since I was 7. Before Jesus saved me, I did bad things. I tried to get my younger brothers to, and I'd have anger problems. I made the decision to follow Christ after I was sorry for stealing. I asked Jesus with my dad, and afterwards I felt all warm inside. Now I feel mostly at peace, and I know that Jesus is helping me control my anger. It is hard, but I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Philippians 4:13.
Okay, thank you. Okay, you can sit down. Okay, and the next one we've got coming up is Dayanata. Oh, I'm sorry. Marshall, I had my order here wrong. I really put that in suspense on you, didn't I? There. Am I going to get forgotten or what? Forgot.
Okay. When I was 5 years of age, it was late evening as my family and I sat down to our evening devotion. I enjoyed them a lot, but I had no idea what being a Christian meant. My father explained what I didn't understand, and to me, I felt he read my mind. Later in the devotion, each of us came up and sat on his lap. He asked us, "Do you want to keep the Lord with you for eternity?" Each of us replied yes and prayed with him. Now I recall the date from when my father wrote it down in his Bible. I was just going into kindergarten, and it was February 22nd, 2010. Most of my friends at school are not Christian, but I feel proud to be a Christian, and that is why I am here to prove it. An honest report by Marshall John Hamill.
Okay. Praise the Lord. Okay, and Dayanata, it's your turn. You can come up. You can just stand down there, huh?
Okay, I'm just going to put this up here.
Okay. You want this?
Where do you want me?
Yeah.
Yeah. She's asking if she can do it in Spanish.
So she can translate for you.
Okay, go ahead.
Yo me quiero bautizar porque yo amaba muchos dioses.
She said she wants to be baptized because before she worshipped many gods.
Después, cuando conocí a Oren y a Rosa, ellos me enseñaron de la Biblia. Yo aprendí mucho de Dios.
She said, before, she said, after that, then I was introduced to Oren and Rosa, and they started teaching me about the Bible, and I learned a lot of things about God.
Un día en la iglesia, Dios me dijo que primero ame a Él.
So she said one day while she was sitting in church, God showed her that she needed to love Him first.
En dos días pasaron y Dios me dijo que cuál lado escogería, el mal o el bien.
She said a couple days later, she was thinking about God, and he, it's like he asked her the question, who are you going to choose? Are you going to choose the bad road, or are you going to choose the road that leads to me?
Y decidí el de él.
And I decided to follow his road.
Yo tuve una hermana que se murió y ella está con Dios.
I had a younger sister that died, and she is in heaven.
Y quiero estar con ella.
And I want to be in paradise with her.
I think it's probably okay for me to share this, but one of the things that Dayanata said, she was actually sitting in one of the services listening to the worship songs, and the Lord was just speaking to her heart. She was in tears, and later on she said, the Lord had revealed to me that I have to put Him first, even ahead of my daddy. And she loves her daddy to pieces, and she shared that with him, that the Lord has to be first, even ahead of her daddy. So it's been amazing to watch what the Lord is doing in these lives. Okay, David, it's your turn. Go ahead, put that up there. Yeah.
Before, when I didn't know much of Jesus Christ, my heart was full with anger, hate, and lie. And I started growing up in the dark. Until a year ago, God sent very special people, Oren and Rosa. And my heart started to shine. And the seed Oren and Rosa planted started to change my life. And that anger, hate, and lie became love. I thank God for finding me, and I thank you wonderful people for giving us love. Blessings to all.
Thank you. Good job. Okay, next is Lily.
Yeah, I think we'll stand here.
Yeah. Yo me quiero bautizar porque Dios es amor. Él me...
Yeah. She said, I want to be baptized because God is love.
Él me encontró en el momento que más lo necesitaba. Yo era una persona de las que hablaba malas palabras hasta ser una adulta.
She said, God met me at a time when I most needed him. From the time I was little into adulthood, I was a person who really used a lot of bad language.
Después de mi matrimonio empezaron los problemas, hasta llegar a odiar a mi esposo.
Says after in our marriage we started having so many problems to the point where I began to hate my husband.
Al no tener amor a él ni a mis hijos.
Says I had no love for him or even for my children.
Gracias a mi Dios, mi esposo empezó a conocer de él, pero no lo creía.
Says I thank my God that my husband came to know him, but I did not believe.
Yo misma miraba su cambio, pero yo decía que era bueno para ser verdad.
Says I saw the changes that were happening in his life, but I thought they were too good to be true.
Él buscaba mi perdón y yo no quería perdonar.
Says he sought me for forgiveness. He asked for forgiveness, but I did not want to forgive him.
Hasta que empecé a estudiar la Biblia con Rosa y Oran.
Until I began to study the Bible with Oren and Rosa.
Dios es grande y empezó a cambiar mi vida.
God is big and he began to change my life.
Un día mi hijo David me dijo, "Mamá, ¿desde cuándo hablas tan bonito?"
Even my son David one day said, "Mom, when did you start speaking so beautifully?"
Y yo le contesté, "Pues desde que Jesucristo entró en mí."
And so I answered him, it's only been since Christ came into my heart.
Ahora estoy fuerte y este versículo de Proverbios 14:1 me ha ayudado, el que dice que la mujer sabia edifica su casa y la necia con las manos la destruye.
He says, I have been growing and a verse that has really helped me is one in Proverbs 14 that says, a wise woman builds her house. But the foolish woman tears it down with her own hands. And God has brought that change into my life.
Confío en Dios Padre Todopoderoso, que vengan más bautizos pronto en la familia.
Because I have faith in the all-powerful God that soon we will have even more baptisms in our family.
Doy gracias a todos ustedes por apoyarnos cuando más lo necesitamos.
I want to thank all of you for just encouraging us when we really needed that encouragement.
Gracias también a Mari y a Luis porque fueron unas personas muy especiales en mi matrimonio.
I want to thank Mari and Luis because they were real encouragement to us in our marriage problems.
Y gracias por esta iglesia de Fellowship porque tenemos el apoyo aunque ustedes saben que nuestro inglés nos diferencia, pero aquí estamos. Dios es grande.
I want to thank all of you here at Grace Bible Fellowship who have encouraged us and loved us, even though you know that our English is really poor and we just get along how we can, but here we are.
Y también a la familia de mi esposo por habernos acompañado.
And also for the family of my husband who came today to encourage
Gracias.
Us.
Creo que ya voy a llorar antes de empezar.
Yes, I think I'm gonna cry before I even start.
Primero que todo,
first of all,
gracias a todos que están aquí.
I want to thank all of you who are here.
A mis compadres, a mi hermana, a mi papá, a María Luis, a todos ustedes.
To my compadres, my friends. My mom and dad and Maria and Luis and all of you who are here to witness this.
Y yo me quiero bautizar porque sé que Jesucristo es el único salvador.
I want to be baptized because I know that Christ is the only savior.
Y porque sé que está escrito.
And because I know that it is written.
Arrepiéntanse y bautícense en el nombre del Padre y el Hijo y el Espíritu Santo.
Repent and be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Yo les quiero platicar un poquito de mi testimonio.
Because I want to share a little bit of my testimony.
Poquito de mi vida.
A little bit of my life.
Yo, Ignacio López.
My name is Ignacio López.
Les quiero compartir mi testimonio.
I want to share my testimony with you.
Desde los 14 años.
From about the age of 14 on.
Yo me rebelé contra Dios y mis padres y mis hermanos.
I rebelled against my parents, my brothers and sisters, and God.
Era una persona totalmente cubierta de tinieblas y de maldad.
Says I was a person that was completely covered in darkness and evil.
Era todo lo contrario que Dios no le agradaba.
Says I was totally contrary to anything that was agreeable to God.
Era idólatra.
I was an idolater.
Adúltero.
An adulterer.
Avaro. Mentiroso.
A liar. Greedy.
Lo más peor que se puedan imaginar.
And anything else, worse than anything else you can imagine.
Incluso hasta llegué a hacer cosas ilegales.
This to the point where I was involved in doing illegal things.
Pero el año pasado.
But last year.
Cuando Santos Limas me trajo a la iglesia Grace Bible.
Last year, Santos Limas brought me here to Grace Bible Fellowship.
Y conocí a Oran.
And I was introduced to Oran.
Y Oran me preguntó y me habló de la palabra de Dios.
And Oran shared with me the word of God.
Me dijo que tenía Dios un regalo para mí.
And told me that God had a gift he wanted to give me.
Yo sin pensarlo dos veces le dije que sí.
And I, without even thinking twice, said yes.
Yo pensé que me iba a dar $1,000.
I thought he was going to give me $1,000,000.
Desde ese momento,
and since that time,
mi vida cambió.
My life has changed.
Mi vida cambió porque necesitaba ese amor.
My life changed because I needed that love.
Que Dios da. Que nadie lo puede dar.
That God can give and no one else, no other person can give.
Más que el Rey de Reyes.
Only the King of Kings.
El único Salvador, Jesucristo.
The only Savior, Jesus Christ.
Gracias, Dios, por sacarme de esas tinieblas.
Thank you, God, for taking me out of that darkness.
Te amo y siempre te amaré.
I love you and I will always love you.
Por venir al mundo a dar a tu Hijo único, por morir por nosotros.
That you came to the earth and died on the cross for us.
Que no lo merecíamos.
Who did not deserve it.
Por habernos rebelado contra él.
Because we were rebellious against him.
Pero su amor tan grande que nos tiene, nos ha salvado.
But the great love that you have for us has brought us salvation.
Gracias a Dios por darme una segunda oportunidad.
Says I want to thank God for giving me a second chance.
Y quiero agradecerle a mi esposa por perdonarme.
And I want to show my gratefulness
a mi familia.
For forgiving me.
Gracias a mi madre por sus oraciones.
I want to thank my mother for her many, many prayers.
A mis hermanos, a mi papá por su apoyo.
To my brothers and sisters and my father for their support.
Y a Tobías también por seguir adelante.
And to Tobias for continuing forward.
Y no puede faltar esas personas tan especiales que Dios me ha mandado.
And also all the special persons that God has sent into my life.
Mamá Rosa y papá Oran.
My spiritual parents, Oran yes. and Rosa.
Mi mamá no está celosa, ni mi papá.
Just, my mom and dad are not jealous of them.
No, no worry. A todos ustedes, Iglesia, Grace Bible, a todos los que vinieron.
Says to all you friends here at Grace Bible and all the visitors that.
Gracias por el amor que me han dado.
Thank you for the love that you have expressed to us.
Es todo.
Amen.
Thank you.
Well, was that a blessing? I think one of the highlights one of the highlights of my walk with the Lord are baptisms. And we got three young people here that have given their lives to the Lord and want to walk with the Lord. And we as a body need to really encourage all of these in their walk with Jesus, that they might continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord. But so we're gonna move ahead with the baptism, and Charlie, if I can get you to give me a hand here, we're gonna move this podium out of the way so that people can see a little bit better. Okay. Well, we got done a little bit earlier than I thought. I don't have that long of a message. What am I going to do? So let me come to the Word of God and this subject of baptism again. You would bow in prayer. I would like to pray. Father, I want to thank you and praise you for this morning, Lord. Thank you for this day. Thank you for these who have followed you in baptism and for their testimonies, Lord, and the growth that we're seeing in their lives. We rejoice in that and praise you for that and pray that they might continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of their Lord and Savior who has saved them and given them new life. And I pray, Lord, that through their lives, you will be honored and glorified, and that through their lives, many more will come to a saving knowledge of Christ. And so I want to commit them to you. I commit this body to you and ask that you would lead us as we look again at this subject of baptism and pray, Lord, that in this you would also be glorified. And so we commit that to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm going to back up a little bit. What's that? Oh, I'm sorry. Children's Church. I thought there was a slide that was going up there. Children's Church, you are dismissed. Thank you. Children are dismissed. So again, just quoting Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, Jesus said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." And so as I mentioned, baptism is an ordinance of the Lord Jesus Christ by which those who have repented and come to saving faith in Christ are expressing their union with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection by being immersed in water in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And baptism signifies death to the old life of unbelief and resurrection to a new life of faith. And so through this ordinance, those who have been baptized were publicly declaring their identity with the Lord's death, burial, and resurrection on their behalf and with the intention of walking with him in newness of life as members of his body. And as I mention a very vital statement that I made, and one that we need to consider as we follow the Lord in baptism, is that baptism demonstrates or proclaims a message. It's a message of a willingness to pay the price to be identified with Jesus Christ publicly. I don't know. I'm sure that you recognize that there are many parts of the world where taking this step right here can be a life-threatening process. And yet people, despite the fact that their life is on the line, are stepping out in obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ and following the Lord in obedience. So as we continue this, looking at the subject of baptism, you'll notice in your sermon notes there's a number of questions that I'm asking. Why should I be baptized? What is the meaning of baptism? Why be baptized by immersion? Who should be baptized? And when should I be baptized? And so I'm going to work my way through these. It may not be as detailed as maybe a regular message would be, but at least we'll hit on those points so that we can have a little better understanding of what baptism is about. I also wanted to make mention that the outline that I'm using is actually from a little pamphlet that we've put together on the importance of being baptized, and you can find that out there in the information area of the foyer. So if you want to pick one of these up, that would be helpful to you. You can go and look through it, and it's just a brief overview of these questions as we seek to answer them. So I've looked at this whole question of what is baptism. I've tried to define that for you. The second question is, why should I be baptized? Why should I, as a believer, be baptized? And the quick answer to that, number one, is because Christ commands it. It's an ordinance of the Lord Jesus Christ. We call this one of the two ordinances of the church, baptism, the Lord's Supper. But Jesus Christ commanded his followers to be baptized. And we find this clearly taught in the passage that I read a little bit earlier in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, where we're commanded by the Lord to go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so hopefully we understand as we look at that passage of Scripture that making disciples is the main verb in the passage. Literally it reads, having gone, make disciples. And so the command there is not to go, the command is to make disciples. And disciple making involves two primary emphases or ministries. One is proclaiming Christ, evangelism, sharing Christ with the lost. And then as those individuals come to a saving knowledge of Christ, it's coming alongside of them, walking with them, and helping them grow in their relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he says, having gone, make disciples of all the nations, and those who come to Christ and are following the Lord, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So making disciples of all nations includes baptizing them and teaching them all that the Lord has commanded. Those two things, baptize, teach them all that I have commanded you. And the time frame for this to take place is defined by the promise of Christ's help in verse 20, when he says, and behold, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. And he's talking about the end of the church age. And so right up to the end of the church age, this is what we are to be about. Evangelizing, seeing people come to Christ, nurturing and helping them to grow, baptizing them in their new faith in Christ. We have many, many new... So baptism is a command, and it's an ordinance of the Lord Jesus to be performed in making disciples until Christ return. There's many examples in the New Testament. For example, in Matthew 28, which we've read. Then in Acts 2:41, it says, then the early church came along. This was after Pentecost. And you remember there were 3,000 individuals that came to a saving knowledge of Christ. And it says, then the early church came along and baptized 3,000 the first day of Pentecost. That's Acts 2:41. At Samaria, the half-breed Samaritans were baptized by Philip the evangelist right after they had placed their faith in Jesus Christ. In Gaza, this is in Acts chapter 8, verse 38, a Jewish proselyte, the Ethiopian eunuch, was baptized by Philip. We'll be looking at that a little bit later on. At Caesarea, Peter baptized the Gentile soldier, Cornelius, and his friends right after he'd come to Christ. At Philippi, Paul baptized Lydia and the Philippian jailer, two more Gentiles, right after they had come to saving faith in Christ. At Corinth, Paul baptized Crispus and Gaius and Stephanus and others. And we also know that he baptized Apollos, and Peter baptized some that were there as well. So this is something that we see clearly taught in the scriptures, and they were doing this in obedience to Christ's command. So this is a serious thing, actually, in the life of a believer. It's one of our initial steps of obedience to Christ. When we come to Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are yielding our lives to Him, not only as Savior, but also as Lord and Master of our life. And as the Lord of our life, as our Savior and the Lord of our life, we as God's people are committed to following Him in obedience. And one of the first commands that He gives us is this command to follow Him in baptism. So one of the reasons, the primary reason for baptism, is that it's commanded by the Lord and we are called upon by His people to follow Him in obedience. There's another reason that I think is important for baptism, and that is this. It is the initial opportunity, in many cases, for a child of God to say publicly, I am a follower of Jesus Christ. I am a follower of Jesus Christ. I have given myself to this Lord, and I am going to walk with Him for the rest of my life. We're all called upon to be witnesses for Christ, and this is a beginning place. So it gives a new believer an opportunity to make a public profession of their faith in Christ. So I'm just going to be really frank right here. Not to follow the Lord in baptism is disobedience. And sometimes that may happen because of ignorance and lack of understanding. Maybe a person hasn't been discipled. They don't understand that this is something the Lord is calling us to do. But I want to encourage you, if you haven't followed, if you're a believer, you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, but you haven't followed the Lord in baptism, that I would encourage you to do that. The second question is, what is the meaning of baptism? It's often said that baptism illustrates Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. But baptism is symbolizing something much, much deeper and more profound than that. In Colossians 2:12, when it says, having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with Him through faith, Paul again is not talking about water baptism, but about the union, this identification with Christ, immersion into the work of Christ for us. So when Desiree, when Marshall, David, Dayanata, Lily, and Nacho were baptized, they were demonstrating, they were declaring not only Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, but their union with Christ in that death, burial, and resurrection. Because we are in Christ, His death has become our death, and His burial has become our burial, and His resurrection has become our resurrection to newness of life. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, who has gone to be with the Lord but was a great British preacher and theologian, used to like to say, because we are united with Christ, made one with Him, what is true of Christ has become true of us. That's an incredible truth to lay hold of. We are in Christ. And therefore, what is true of Christ has become true of us. And that's why the Apostle Paul could claim in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5, that God the Father has raised us up with Him, Christ, and done what? Seated us with Him in the heavenly places. Do you believe that? Do you know that you have been, in Christ's resurrection, raised up with Christ? That you are now in Christ, seated with Him in the heavenlies? That does away with this idea that you can lose your salvation, folks. We are secure in Christ, and nothing can remove us from being in Christ. It's a powerful work that takes place between Christ and a Savior when we are brought to saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Colossians 3:1-3 says, if then you have been raised up with Christ. Did Christ rise from the dead? Yes. Are we in Him? Yes. Is his resurrection our resurrection? Yes, it is. And then he says, if you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated. Where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth, for you have died. When did we die? In Christ. The moment we put faith in him, we were engrafted into him, and his death became our death. And your life is hidden with Christ in God. Galatians 2:20 says this, I have been crucified with Christ. I'm in Christ. His crucifixion is my crucifixion. And it's no longer I who live. But Christ lives in me. And the life that I live, I now live by the faith in the Son of God who gave himself for me, or delivered himself up for me. So we are united with Christ in his death. We were baptized into his death, engrafted into his death. In his resurrection, we were resurrected with Christ. In his heavenly session, we sit with him in heavenly places so that our life is hidden with Christ in God. And we will share forever in that life with him in glory. So baptism is a picture of that union that has taken place with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. So when these folks were baptized, going into the water is a picture, a very vivid picture of the death and burial that they have become part of in Christ. And when they come up out of the water, it's a very vivid picture of the new resurrection life that they have in Christ through his resurrection. Does that make sense to you? It's a powerful truth to lay hold of. We are in Christ. What is true of Christ has become true of us. And that's what baptism pictures. Third, why be baptized by immersion? Well, again, the short answer to that question is because every baptism in the Bible was by immersion. We don't see any indication of people being sprinkled or having water poured over their head or anything like that at all. It's all by immersion. So water baptism is an ordinance or a sacrament by which a person is immersed or dunked or submerged into the water. John MacArthur has a very interesting description of the words or defining these words in the Greek. He points out that the word baptizo means to plunge, dip, immerse something in water. That's in the Greek. That's the word in the Greek. That is the commonly recognized and standard meaning of the term in ancient Greek literature, both inside and outside of the Bible. That's the way the Greek term was used, this baptizo, to plunge, to dip, to immerse something in water. He goes on and he says, in fact, the two Greek verbs that are used in the New Testament with regard to baptism are bapto and baptizo. Now follow me carefully here. Bapto is the less common of the two. It is used only four times in the New Testament and literally means to dip into. In fact, it was used to describe something being immersed into dye, like material and this guy, what would you say, material and so forth. It was, yeah, cloth that was put into dye. Baptizo, on the other hand, is an intensified form of bapto. Follow along. Don't get goofed up here with the Greek and so forth. But this is interesting. As one scholar points out, the Greeks had ways of sticking in a few extra letters to intensify the meaning of a word. So baptizo is a intensified form of bapto. It's used many times in the New Testament and literally means to dip completely. It's actually a Greek word for drowning. That's pretty complete. That's pretty immersed. So it was a Greek word used for drowning, which expresses just how complete this dipping is potentially. It means to submerge or to immerse. And again, we find this in a number of places in Scripture. Matthew chapter 3, verse 6, by him, that in the Jordan River, John the Baptist, baptized him in the Jordan River. They went down into the water, came back up. Matthew 3:16, and after Jesus being baptized, Jesus went up immediately from the water. So the idea there that they went down into it. Mark 1:5, and all the country of Judea was going out to him, and all the people of Jerusalem, and they were being baptized by him in the Jordan River. John 3:23, and John also was baptizing in Aon near Salim because there was much water there. Well, if it was an issue of sprinkling, they wouldn't have needed a lot of water, but there was a lot of water there, and so they were baptized. Acts 8:38 to 39, this is a passage of Scripture that we're all pretty familiar with, but let me just read a portion of this because I think it illustrates very well what I'm talking about here. Chapter 8, of course, we are familiar with Philip and the Ethiopian, but in this passage, and let me just start reading down through here, see if I can find it. Now there was a certain man named Simeon. Oh, wait a minute. Who was formerly practicing magic in the city and astonishing the people of Samaria, claiming to be someone great. And they all, from the smallest to the greatest, were giving attention to him, saying, "This man is what is called the great power of God." And they were giving him attention because he had for a long time astonished them with his magic arts. But when they believed Philip preaching the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were being baptized, men and women alike. And even Simon himself believed. And after being baptized, he continued on with Philip. So that's the case of Simon. Then you go a little bit later on, and you find him in Gaza. But an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Arise and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert road." And he arose and went, and behold, there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. And he had come to Jerusalem to worship. And he was returning and sitting in his chariot and was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go up and join this chariot." And when Philip had run up, he heard him leading. And I love that. The Lord says, "Go and join this chariot." And immediately he runs to catch up. And when he had run up, he heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "Well, how could I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of Scripture which he was reading was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before his shearers is silent, so he does not open his mouth. In humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who shall relate this generation? For his life is removed from the earth." And the eunuch answered Philip and said, "Please tell me, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or someone else?" And Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. So the gospel was preached to this man. And as they went along the road, they came to the water, to some water. And the eunuch said, "Look, water, what prevents me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." If you believe with all your heart, you may be baptized. And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he ordered the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, but went on his way rejoicing. So here was a case of an individual having the gospel shared with him, coming to faith in Christ, actually saying, "What would prevent me from being baptized?" "Nothing, as long as you've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ," and then being baptized by going down into the water. So over and over, we see in the scriptures examples of baptism, and in each case, the baptism that takes place is by immersion. And so immersion really is a great demonstration, a great picture of this union that has taken place and what is involved in this union that we have in Christ. Who should be baptized? Well, the answer to that question is every person who has faith in Christ. The Ethiopian eunuch, again, is an example of that. Acts 2:41 says, "So then, those who had received his word were baptized." In Acts 8:13, we read that a moment ago, and even Simon himself believed, and after being baptized. So each case, they've come to saving faith in Christ, and then they're being baptized. When should I be baptized? The answer to that question is, as soon as you have believed. There was no waiting for the Ethiopian eunuch. There's no waiting for these that we're reading about in the Scripture. They gave a clear testimony of faith in Christ, and the response was to follow the Lord in baptism. It was very significant. Acts 2:41 again, "So then those who had received his word were baptized, and there were added that day 3,000 souls." And again, going back to Philip, we see that example there as well. So if a person gives a clear confession of faith in Christ, there's really no reason to delay baptism. As soon as you've decided to receive Christ into your life, you can and should be baptized. If you wait until you're, and some people will do this, they'll just think, "Well, I'm not ready, I'm just not good enough yet." I've heard that before. You'll never be good enough. That's what the gospel's all about. It's not about our being good enough. We're going to be working towards becoming like Christ our whole life. We will never reach perfection in this day and age, or in our lifetime. So you don't wait for that reason. And so as soon as you come to Christ, you should be following the Lord in baptism. And I think sometimes we just put it off way too long, much longer than we should. So those are the primary questions that I wanted to address this morning, and I'm just hitting on them lightly because of the time limitation. But hopefully you'll give some consideration. If you've never been baptized yourself, can I encourage you to step out in obedience to the Lord in baptism and profess him before this body of believers? And I trust that this has been a blessing as we've watched these brothers and sisters follow the Lord in baptism. And boy, I'll tell you, you're going to be in my prayers. I just hope that you all continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. And it's just exciting to see when a life changes because of God's power in his life. And so this is a big step for you, Marshall, David, and Dianata, and Lily, and where's my little other little girl? Where'd she disappear to? Oh, yeah. Desiree, this is a big step, and I really praise the Lord for you. Okay, let's pray. And don't forget, we're going to have a finger food potluck afterwards, so please go down, and we'll just have a good time of fellowship. Father, I want to commit these folks to you. Thank you again, Lord, for what you've done in Desiree's life and how she's come to Christ and how she has that desire to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord, and I pray that you'll just bless her life. Thank you that she's been blessed by being born in and growing up in a Christian family that loves you and can give her that discipleship and direction that she needs. I think of Marshall, Lord, and same thing. He's in a Christian home. He has the blessing of being in a Christian home and nurtured and well taught by his mother and his father. And I pray that Marshall will continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord, and that he'll be that man of God that will bring honor and glory to you as he grows and matures, that you'll keep him on that straight path. I think of David, Lord. Thank you for what you've done in his life, for the impact that even the change in his mother and father had in his life, and that he could see that there was a dramatic change that had taken place through their faith in Christ, and that he wanted to experience that as well and gave his life to you. And I pray also, Lord, that this young man will grow to love you and follow you. Think of Dianata, Lord, such a young age, and yet she has spiritual insight. She's got a tender heart towards you, and I pray that as she grows, Lord, that tenderness will never wane at all, but that she'll just continue to love you with all of her heart And Father, that you will use her life in a very powerful way as well. And then for Lily and Nacho, Lord, I thank you for this couple. Thank you for the joy you've given us, Rose and I especially, I guess, to see the change that's taken place. But Lord, this body has had a part in all of that as well, as they've interacted with Lily and Nacho and encouraged them and built them up in their new faith. And Lord, I just pray that you'll continue to use them also for your glory, and that, Lord, many more will come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ as a result of their changed life and their desire. This is the desire they have of sharing what they've received with those that they know are lost. And so we commit them to you. And thank you for this body, Lord. I just pray your blessing on each one of us. Ask that as we go from this place and as we go back to our neighborhoods and our workplaces through the week, as we scatter into our community, that, Lord, we will be alert to the opportunities that you put before us to proclaim Christ with those who need you, Lord. And so I just commit all of this to you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. This time I'd like to ask the men if they would come forward to... You thought I was going to forget this, didn't you? Ask the men to come forward for the offering.